It's fine.
Cool.
So can you say who you are? What just your name?
My name is Anthony Tran. I am a writer and technologist, sometimes an artist. I'm really interested in kind of the fleshiness of online communities, and then also kind of, network relations in general, like communities and people, and as well as like how our bodies navigate those realms between like the virtual and the real, especially nowadays.
Okay. So, I mean, we're sitting here at the beginning of a 2-month-long kind of trajectory down the river, and so there's a kind of interest in general about what you think of and what you feel when you think about the source of the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. So the question kind of is, you know, describing where we are, I guess, and like what this place is as a beginning of a kind of continental river.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think about what is the origin, what's the beginning of a river, because that kind of context comes from, I think, like maps and colonization and how geography is represented as a form of colonization. Of course, these headwaters are not the headwaters for other cultures. It's not the origin story for all cultures. I think that's more of a Western way of thinking about it. Like, other ways of thinking about it is, what are the relative origins for other people? Like, I thought it was cool yesterday when we were talking to different speakers about what their center of the universe is. And, you know, although, like, geographically, this is where it's marked. This is where the beginning is marked. I don't feel it like that way. And I guess it's like comes from my lack of knowledge of this place, I guess. Like, I know what headwaters are, and I get why it's demarcated that way here. I kind of don't see the significance of it, I guess.
It makes you want to ask what a river is.
Yeah, and I mean, I think about things of, like, the general maxim of, like, you know, you're never in the same point in a river. So it's hard to even be like, what's the starting point of something, or what's the point of something when it's drifting away from you constantly, you know?
Hmm.
And so, like, defining the headwaters is, like, kind of, like, it's kind of a futile exercise, you know?
Cool. And so, a very abstract question, because this is the beginning of a journey for most people, is where you think all this is going somehow? Like, where the river is going, where the... Like, if you're at the source, this feeling of sort of flow and exit, and again, sources being problematic, it's like, I guess what the question has to do with is, you know, if you were on this journey, which you're not going on all the little things, and so it might not even be a question.
In some ways, I might be.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'm actually helping. I literally just got into this morning, but I'm going to help create a visualization for, like, a online visualization of the canoes themselves. And, yeah, I've been thinking about that in multiple ways. You know, the easiest way is obviously, like, putting out a map and seeing where people are at points in time. But I'm, like, totally diverging. But, like, there's so many ways to kind of augment that information. We think about sensors and we think about, like, oh, what might be the pH of the point in time or the depth of it, but I think about how the river is constantly changing, so it's kind of how are we able to morph points, I guess, right, with the flux of the river, right? So it's not just talking about, like, not all points are equal in that way.
No, I get that. Actually, it's kind of it's an interesting way to think about like how flows could be represented, because like those kinds of questions are really about trying to figure out how you imagine a river. You know what I mean? Like when you're thinking about the source and the flow and the continuation of these things all the way down to New Orleans, it's sort of like only a picture on a map in your head or nothing. You know?
Yeah, and I think that like, you know, we keep talking about the Anthropocene, and I think that comes because of not only our own like physical terraforming of the land, but also how we're able to understand the land in such a unique way these days. You know, like they're like we have like all these sensors, and then like I think about powers of 10, you know, like that visualization of like how we can get into such granular data, and how are we able to kind of use that information, which kind of echoes, you know, non-scientific thinking, like more subjective reality of the river. How are we able to echo that using this minute metadata, this external data, to kind of transform the way we visualize the river and how we interact with the river, or how we're part of the river.
Makes total sense. So a pretty broad question, just because of like it seemed like
I forgot what the original question was.
Well, that was about what I mean. More or less, it's about where this whole, I don't know, where the river's going, where we're going with this project, where, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting point in time to do it, right? That's what I'm saying, it's democratization of data. I know we have this, we always have this notion of, we're going through this phase of technology where we're really reflecting about the conglomeratization of technology company monopolization. But I think, you know, there's always going to be a resistance to that, and there's always going to be kind of that, like, reaction to that. And it's interesting how we'll be able to retake that, those ways of seeing, and kind of apply more of an artistic or a subjective experience to it.
I guess one question that just hits generally, and then we could probably adjourn, because it's just, these are supposed to be just little short snips. What is an Anthropocene river? You should take your time, because it's...
Yeah, I mean, people were mentioning that earlier, and I was like, oh, I think other people have thought about this for a while. I think it's peculiar to me that we describe it at this point in time, just the notion of Anthropocene in general, because, you know, we have been constantly shape-shifting the Earth in one way or the other, whether that be a more sustainable, renewable way or a destructive and, you know, apocalyptic, cataclysmic way. And I think that those are the terms in which we describe it now. But I look at the Anthropocene River as, like, being, like, there are high-impact activities that we participate in, whether it be more corporate pipeline stuff or more individual plastic driven stuff, that, you know, that changes the river forever, and there's no way of turning back. But at the same time, it's a way for us to view how we've been transforming the river for forever, and how, not only in the destructive ways, but in ways that it helps us reflect on the way the river and our own bodies have been renewed symbiotically. So, you know, when we typically think about the Anthropocene, we think about now, but I think it's a way for us to put a new lens on the river and how we can reflect on the past, look towards the future, through this, like, present lens of change.
Very good. Can you do me a huge favor?
Yeah.
I need to associate a photo with this, and I'm totally vibing on your glasses.
Thanks, I always wear them.
Can you put them down?
Yeah, sure.
Just on the table here?
I wear them. I wear them because I'm always looking at screens.
Yeah?
So...
And put your hand there, because your watch is pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, so I always, Yeah, I look at screens all the time, so I, like, they're kind of blue blockers for me.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm always looking, like, so it's, like, kind of always, like, a computer screen
vision. It's just a bit more fun than a picture of your head.
For sure, I agree.
Yeah. Great. Perfect. Thanks, man.
That's it.
That'll it for now. Right. These are going to be released kind of throughout the whole